Good afternoon. This day we shall discuss this present wave and how it is affecting each of you and what your experiences are thus far in association with it. But before we engage that conversation, I would pose to all of you, how would you define association?
With people or with anything, objects,
associations are generated with any expression, with individuals, with objects, with any experience.
Well, this is an emotional response to something based on something you already encountered.
Partially.
I see it as a linkage. There's a link between the two different experiences. Somehow they're linked together.
Partially.
Memory attached to an event.
I think the belief attached to an event.
Partially.
Will our needs, our inner needs, and intent color our automatic associations?
At times.
I would call it like a vibrational resonance which enables communication of any expression.
Connection,
yeah, sort of consciously, intentionally,
deliberately,
and
sympathy with something.
I think it is something that triggers a feeling. It can be from my past or my future, but it colors what's happening in the moment. For the most part, is my experience with association.
I would simply call it an experience. Generally, sometimes mysterious, sometimes complex. Do I see myself within the event, within the experience? Or do I see it solely as outside of me, coming to me? But very broadly, almost any experience would define some kind of association.
I think if anything is generated by our perception, would be an association. Anything that we generate.
I think of a system of symbols, like archetypical symbols, and if there's a language, a symbology in the collective consciousness. Archetypes are these things.
Very well. Association. An association is what you form or what you create in relation to an experience. You generate an experience and you create an assessment of the experience, which includes a judgment, good or bad. And once that association is formed, it generally remains with you. Yes, it does involve many of the elements that you have described, but simply and clearly, an association is the assessment that you generate in relation to an experience that includes a judgment. The reason this is important to define and to understand is that you all generate many, many, many associations. You do not generate associations with future, for you have not experienced that yet. You do generate associations with past experiences and with present experiences, but past experiences and the associations attached to them are very affecting and are the most confusing in the present. For they confuse you with your present experiences, coloring them in relation to past experiences. I have been expressing to individuals for a time framework now of paying attention to your associations and questioning yourself, not whether they are real, for your experiences are real, but whether your associations are valid in the present with your experience. For many of your associations are past associations that are influencing and coloring your present experiences. And that becomes confusing and can create significant conflict. And that is what is occurring in many situations in relation to this present wave. Also, remember, this present wave is addressing to all forms of communication. This is a base element of your reality. It is a base element of the blueprint of your reality, physical and emotion, physical manifestations and communication, not feelings, communications. This wave is more intense than any of the previous waves, and it is more affecting. And in this, many individuals are experiencing difficulty and unusualness and fear in relation to the intensity of the energy of this wave. It is different from other waves in consciousness. And as it is one of the base elements of your reality, it is very powerful. This is not merely addressing to inner communications or outer communications. It is not merely addressing to communication that you generate between each other in your own species. It is all communications in any form. It can be communications with creatures, which generate very different language than you. It can be with your planet, which also generates a different language than yourselves. It can be with any living expression in your reality. And it is challenging, for there are many, many differences. And in that, there can be significant confusion, for you all automatically interpret other languages through your own. But your own language may not be what is being expressed by other manifestations. Therefore, it is important to pay attention. Now, I will engage all of you to share your experiences that you have been generating and what you have been noticing thus far in this particular way. I will express to you one encouragement that may not seem to be an encouragement presently, but in actuality, it is a physical example that your planet, that your world is actually shifting and that you can visibly see. The turmoil that you perceive in your world presently, in actuality, is not what it seems. It may be frightening to many individuals that it appears that your foundations are somewhat crumbling, but in actuality, this is a sign of you are shifting. Many changes will occur in this shift, and they have begun. What you view to be bad or devastating economically is actually the birthing of a new foundation and a new order, for your old systems do not fit any longer in your new reality. This change is not occurring immediately, but it has begun. But in these changes, there also is trauma, and there is confusion and distress, and individuals are experiencing intensities and are confused in what they are experiencing. And this is what we shall be engaging in conversation this day. What are your experiences?
Well, I have a question, and this comes from Elizabeth, from the river. I personally, and many others, have been experiencing heightened intensity of energy. And you feel like you have a jello-y body, and you feel a different sensation, and it's very unusual. Even when the energy starts, could you comment on that?
Many individuals are and will be experiencing physical effects. Many individuals may be experiencing what they think of as a lack of motivation, but it is not actually a lack of motivation. It is a lack of motivation in relation to what is familiar. Let me express to you, as I have recently with some individuals, one significant factor that is being affected is the body consciousness. For you think that memory is held or stored in your mind. Memory is not stored in your mind. Memory is stored in your body consciousness. Every experience that you have ever engaged has been logged and stored and retained in your body consciousness. This is actually a very efficient action for you. For when you generate new experiences, your body consciousness retains old experiences and can reference them, which allows you to engage your thought mechanism to reason and to provide yourselves with logical or rational explanations for what you are experiencing. The difficulty presently is that you are moving into a time framework and an energy and experiences that are new. They are unfamiliar, and some of which are even unknown. Now, that creates a temporary disruption. It creates a disruption with the body consciousness, and it creates a disruption with your thought mechanism. For your thought mechanism automatically wants to translate what information is being processed. But the body consciousness does not incorporate a reference of experience for what you are experiencing now. Therefore, it is processing new, unfamiliar, unknown information, and it must assimilate that before it can be translated by the thought mechanism. Therefore, there is a delay. And you perhaps observe yourselves experiencing, but as you incorporate no frame of reference for what you are experiencing, you do not understand what you are doing, for you cannot offer yourself a reasonable explanation. You merely know what you are doing. But it does not always generate sense to you, for it is unfamiliar. You may be engaging actions that you know within the familiarity of your experiences that you would not do, but you are. You may be responding to situations or individuals in manners that you know you generally would not, but you are. You may be reacting to individuals or to situations that you know in your experiences that you would not necessarily naturally do, but you are. And it appears that your world and yourselves are upside down. And the difficulty is how to right yourselves. But therein, as you express, lies the bug. For you want to right yourselves, but in attempting to do so, you perpetuate the confusion, for you block the assimilation of the new. And that requires more time to assimilate, and you become more confused, and you struggle more. Therefore, creating this circle of confusion and frustration. But also incorporating a sense or a knowing or a feeling that you are fine or that you are comfortable, which is also conflicting. For how can you be comfortable and confused and frustrated simultaneously?
This is a good question. I hope you have the answer.
You are comfortable, for you do incorporate much information, and you have applied much information. You have allowed yourselves to become more familiar with yourselves and to know yourselves more and to know more of what your preferences are. Not all, but enough to allow you a comfort. You are directing of yourselves enough to allow you a comfort. But you also are engaging actions and experiences that are unfamiliar, and therefore they are confusing. And in that confusion, you are not necessarily uncomfortable, but you are feeling. And you generate frustration in not understanding how to eliminate the confusion and continue on with the comfort. And therefore, you search for some reason of what is occurring. And perhaps you may offer yourselves outside reasons, that there is tremendous energy being expressed, that your world is in tremendous upheaval. But in actuality, it is the unfamiliarity of experiencing different. You are shifting, and you are evidencing that to yourselves now. You may express to yourself, I want to read a book, but you cannot seem to force yourself to do it. I should go to work, but you remain in your home. I should engage this action and tidy my home, and you go toward them. And you are not uncomfortable doing the actions that you do, but there is a conflict for you express, I should not be doing this. I don't want to do this. I want to read a book. But I'm not reading a book. And that can become very confusing also for doing Kierkegaard's information, and therefore you turn that information upon yourself and you express to yourself, perhaps I do not want to read a book, for I'm not doing it. Yes, you may want to read the book, but you are doing what is comfortable. You are doing what you are self-directing in, not what you are supposed to do, not what you are told to do, not what you have trained to do, not what you are expected to do, but what you want to do, which is the beginning of moving in that genuine self-directedness. Yes.
It just occurred to me this morning, or yesterday, that I can allow myself not to smoke. And I feel better when I do not smoke. Alright? But then a weekend comes along like this, and I want to have more energy, right? So I tell myself, don't smoke for the next 2 weeks. And I discovered this only yesterday, that the more I say I will do something, the more I don't do it. and it really hit me. And the less I say I will do this or I will do that, the more I accomplish. If I say, let it, of course, I'm not working, I don't have an obligation to other people, but I allow myself to handle, hey, I get up in the morning, what am I going to do today? Well, I start moving through my day. I accomplish a lot more not having a schedule. It was funny, last night, I said, I'm spending the weekends with the parking. and I tried to set a schedule for this morning, because it's a book of us, and you know, who's going to be in the bathroom, and so forth. And finally, I won over Daniel, I think, said, do we have to have a schedule? And that was just a perfect example. Here I am trying to protect myself in the future and will it to be a certain way. And he's telling me, just allow it. It'll take care of itself. And I hear that's what you're talking about right now.
Yes.
This business.
Allowance would be the word.
Functionality?
Allowance. But this is key in this time framework. You are shifting. And in that, attempting to force yourselves in old familiar patterns merely creates tremendous resistance within yourself. And you are actually moving into what I have been discussing with you for many of your years. You are actually beginning to experience it now. And in that, the more you push, the more difficult it becomes to function. But it is not a matter of pushing any longer. happen, the more you force, the more difficult it is to accomplish whatever you want to accomplish. The key also is comfort. What is comfortable and what is not. And what is familiar and what you should do or what you are supposed to do is not always comfortable. But in shifting, you are willing out to the comfort rather than the should and the supposed to.
Question? This has a personal flip to it, but I think it's pertinent. I've been thinking about moving now for the last 3 years. I've been creating a lot of anxiety about it. And I finally decided in the last only week or so that go out and look at these various areas, because there's nothing growing. To Brattleboro, to Berkshire, to New Jersey, Pennsylvania, there's a lot of places I could go to. But nothing is drawing me. I can discover nothing that will motivate me. And so I came to the decision in the last couple of weeks that go and experience the places, examine the units, the apartments, the people there, and determine what feels the most comfortable, and base your choice on that, and don't try to make sense of anything. Now, is that what you're talking about? I'm asking for some personal consultation here, but is that what you're talking about? The comfort level that you're talking about?
Yes. Yes. And also, allowing yourself to be open to new and open to unconventional. In this, perhaps no one location is drawing you, for you may not want to be in one location. Perhaps you would be more comfortable being mobile. And there are manners in which, in your reality, you can incorporate the comfort of a home that is mobile.
Here comes fun.
This emotional wave seems to be hitting me most forcefully in family relationships. And it's as though before this wave occurred, I pretty much, it was easy for me in the little things to pay attention to me. What's occurring in the family now is there is such an intensity of different opinions and preferences that I'm finding it really difficult to get in cooperation mode, and it's also making me realize that my attention was out on them. It was like I needed sort of a sledgehammer to, in everything, even big things, shift my focus around on me. And I sort of got that just this week. I don't know if that's forced to get it. My question is, though, the cooperation shift is what's difficult to me. I seem unable to allow my preferences and my guidelines to manifest within very opposing preferences. The guidelines seem the same. My wife wants the same thing that I do in relation to our son. We have different methods of doing it. And it's like a search problem. I don't know how to get to that cooperative state when she doesn't understand the lie of stuff. And whether that even matters that she does, I don't think that really matters.
You are correct.
Right. So I wonder if you could sort of talk me through what cooperation might look like when possibly our preferences and guidelines in a particular issue are similar, but the direction in which we get to them is very, very different. And it's still causing that conflict.
And what is the conflict with the differences?
Yeah, it's probably my judging that her her direction is not. And we had a battle over that. That's what made me realize my attention was on her, and I wasn't accepting of her. And it worked. You know, the little things, and I always start with the little things. Easy. This is big. That's how I. I'm creating this because I need to get my focus and my acceptance concerned.
And an example of precisely what I expressed, differences. Differences are being tremendously emphasized in this way. And what is important is to view the difference. View your own position, so to speak, your own preferences, your own opinions, but also view the other individuals and inquire of yourself, what is so threatening in the other individual's difference? I am reacting. What is motivating me to react? What threatens me? If the other individual incorporates one method and can accomplish the same outcome as you can accomplish with your method, what is it that you are threatened with in relation to the other individual's method? Do you view that as invalidating yours? Do you view yourself as being not heard? Are you generating associations that your opinion is not as important? This is also the reason that it is important to be aware of associations, experiences that you have generated in the past, that you have attached associations to, that may be influencing in what you are doing now and in conflict and in judgments. Remember, associations carry judgments, whether they be good or bad. And in that, is that association valid now? You may have an experience pastly in which you are interactive with another individual and you may have felt invalidated in a particular type of scenario. And you may present yourself with what appears to be a similar situation. And the imagery may be very different, but it appears to be somewhat similar. And that association automatically comes into play. Without you thinking of it, It does not require your thought mechanism. You feel. And what you feel is the association. You think you are feeling in relation to what is occurring presently. But for the most part, what you are feeling is that association, which is automatically being expressed, and you are not even identifying it. It is so present with you that you do not even notice it. And therefore, you think you are reacting to this moment and what is occurring in this moment. And you think you are being present and you think you are being in the now. But your indicator is where your attention is. That was your clue. That you are focused upon what the other individual is saying or doing, and it is bothersome to you. The reason it is bothersome to you is that already an association has been expressed and is present.
And it creates an expectation mm-hmm. within the present moment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I even feel that.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great.
Thank you. You're saying that an association cannot exist unless there's a judgment. So to have an association where there is zero judgment is not possible.
In relation to
anything.
All of you, no, you are correct.
In relationship to all of us?
Yes.
With, are there other examples that this would... I'm just trying
yes.
to see if there's an exception to the rule.
Not with your species.
Ah, okay. I don't care about it. Are, you mean...
Correct. Yes, you are correct.
But it does... This is a very important point.
Yes.
And I want her to get it, because she'll understand.
Yes, you are correct.
This rule does not apply to cats.
Or other species.
Okay.
It applies to you as a human species.
I thought I'd be human. I want to name the attention now of everybody.
You are.
I would express that associations in relation to humans, yes, do carry judgments, whether they be good or bad.
So someone who is advanced or enlightened, so to speak, in front of an enlightened person, who neutralized he would think in 16 minutes and some
without judgment or without judgment, and he or she would not make a lot of things before they attend the place who is here. Made a lot of judgment, and yes, they would be more aware in not generating past associations and generating associations in the moment, in the experience, but not necessarily being influenced by past associations. But there would continue to be some element of judgment, for once again, you are not eliminating duplicity. And you are not becoming non-human and therefore eliminating preferences and opinions. You are shifting, but you continue to generate preferences and opinions which incorporate judgments, and in that you also continue to express your own guidelines, which also include judgments, and therefore associations would also continue to include judgments, but not necessarily bad.
So the point is not necessarily to not generate associations, but to recognize the associations that may influence
Yes.
Can I ask you a little piece of clarification, which is really just for you to reiterate again? The sticky piece for Bill, and I recognize the sticky piece for myself, is in the association, how I know that there's a sticky piece or I'm uncomfortable is my attention goes to the other person. And it's all about either what they think about me or how I perceive they make me feel, and that can be an association many, many, many times in the past. The one thing I want to acknowledge in this is that, see, I agree with you that we're, at least in my opinion or my experience, you caught it, and I'm catching it too. And you can see where your attention was on the other person and not push and relax behind it and go, oh, there it is. And that's really all I know how to do at this point, is go, oh, there's that familiar discounting, which I know is my second clue that my attention is on somebody else. And I just think I want to say allowing myself to recognize that I feel like that and almost not do anything or do dishes or distract myself, something like that. But did I get that right?
Yes.
Because it happens that for me this way, it can happen so fast, and suddenly I'm overwhelmed. That's my experience. I'm feeling suddenly overwhelmed, and I kind of have to backtrack and go, what happened? And I just feel like that's part of what's going on right now. A lot of people are overwhelmed around me too, and sort of like together, I would say.
And the overwhelm can be generated in very minor experiences or actions. An individual may become overwhelmed and almost non-functioning, merely breaking a pencil.
See, I'll be watching a movie, and somebody will say something in a particular way, and all of a sudden, it's like I can feel tears come to my eyes. I mean, my entire body is tingling with emotion. And it's like, what is this? Where did it come from? What does it mean? It's like,
or fear. And fear is being triggered very easily.
Because
let me ask you if I understand this. In every moment, we create a new experience.
Yes.
And in every new experience, we automatically generate an association. Because.
Yes, but not necessarily a past association.
Okay, that was kind of where I was going, because if there is something new that now we notice that this is completely new, and I'm thinking of several examples of what we're going through in the financial industry where I was completely new, and nobody really knows what's going on or what's going to happen tomorrow. How do we, what kind of association can we generate or create to understand that better, to just automatically will take something from the past. I will do that a lot. Take something from the past and create the kind of conflict within that you described. And I kind of know how to get away from that. It's working very well for me. But if it's something completely new, then I'm a little bit lost. I know enough from having played you over the years and having had you around that I've not experienced tremendous fear or confusion, much of it in excitement. But I'm trying to find something within this newness of each experience that I can relate something, to it.
And you cannot. And that is the point. That is the point. It is a matter of allowing and moving with the new experience and allowing it to unfold. And in that you will form a new association, but it is a matter of allowing the experience to unfold and to be assimilated, which your body consciousness does. And in that, as you allow and as you relax into the experiences, and you will offer yourself information, you will generate the translation in thought, you will create your explanation and understand. But the more you push, the more you force, the more you try to understand before the experience has unfolded, the more you cannot. And the more elusive the explanation becomes, or the understanding becomes. Therefore, it is important to allow yourself to merely flow with the experience. This wave is literally more associated with actual physical waves than any other wave. If you attempt to swim against a wave, you will meet considerable resistance and you will not move very far. But if you allow yourself to flow with the wave, you will travel considerable distance with very little effort. Quite so. And in this, it is very similar to an experience of giving birth. Now, many of you have never given birth. Therefore, that would be a very unknown experience to you. But in generating that type of direction, you can plan to become pregnant. You cannot plan the pregnancy. You can move with it, or you can move against it. If you move with it, you will generate more ease. If you move against it, you will create difficulty and much discomfort. You cannot plan what the outcome of that pregnancy is either. It will be what it will be. And in this, there are many experiences now that you are and will be engaging that are not a matter of planning. They are a matter of unfolding and you allowing them to unfold. For whether you understand it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not, each and every one of you is a participant in the collective. Whether you think you have agreed to be or not, you are. And your energy ripples out tremendously more than you imagine and is affecting tremendously more than you imagine. And it mingles with every other energy in your reality, in your world. You may view yourself as one small, singular individual that perhaps touches some few individuals that you immediately interact with, but this is incorrect. You are touching throughout your world, whether you know any other individuals objectively or not. This is not to say that you are not participating and that you are not touching. You are. And in that, you are choosing to shift. You are choosing to expand. And with that expansion comes great freedom, but can also include significant overwhelm and trauma, dependent upon whether you are flowing with or flowing against. And those that flow with may experience significant ease and little trauma, if any, and tremendous comfort and significant satisfaction. Yes.
I find it interesting slightly different the way that communication.
Yes.
I mean, one big example of it is in financial markets and commerce. But this way is driven by feedback, which is all about communication.
Exchange.
Which isn't
the same thing. Not entirely.
What's the difference?
And what is curious to you that it would not be directed by Hilda?
It seems that Hilda, in the sense of exchange, but also in the sense of communication, the thing is associated with the
The reason it is associated with bold is that the bold are revolutionary. And this is a type of revolution. And this is being reflected in your financial community. The revolution is occurring. Eventually, you will not spend upon the foundation of exchange.
You wouldn't want to give us an idea. You've already told us that there's no cosmic equivalent of a conda. We're all getting pregnant.
On the other hand, if one could cultivate allowance, perhaps the gratitude life, then think back and move into the consciousness and become connected to essence, to the learning to be human transfer. Could we then, in fact, have a larger view of, not the plan, but the allowance of the emergence of patterns? For instance, when I was pregnant and had a child, there was a machine that would tell me with an amnio that this would be a male or a female, or that this child would have a genetic defect or not. And so the creative use of technology was working in a way that was comfortable for me to perhaps not predict the process, but to kind of be creative and playful in so could I use this analogy in the evolution of this and manifestation of this way.
But this is what you are doing.
So if I were to kind of tune into my GPS system, I could, because the thing on earth that I'm doing is that it's sensations or intuitions of what is to come when there's a quiet, an asking, and how will this manifest? How can I move through this process of bringing it easier? And then maybe a form, a shape, a color that presents itself in the room that will say, moving this direction, and this will be the form and flow for it.
Yes.
Can it be an island?
Yes.
That's a thing you could,
like a clue, cultivate?
Yes.
What about cultivating something? Putting a seed in it, like the fragments. And you wish for the child, you have a bit of luck, and then you go through the process by growing a new plant, and then you want to cultivate flowers and not weeds, and you take certain actions without pre-planning massively. But you just get up, like Rodney was saying, and pull a weed out here and put a little fertilizer here, and you direct yourself for comfort and allowing to be.
Yes.
Why should we return to the financial communication? Between all countries and the values and our pocketbook and our financial standing. I know you refer to the year, looks like 2075, everything will be
approved.
Oh, okay, right. But in the interim and present one, with an answer, is there some guidance you could give us? So there would be some steps we could take to reassure ourselves?
Stop worrying.
You want us to know where to put the money? What's that?
Yeah, I'm going.
But I was a little poor. My mommy gave me a nickel at the end of every week. That was my allowance. That's the kind of allowance I would like. That would be allowing.
And what will you do with your nickel when it no longer incorporates any value and no one is receiving it?
That would be terrible.
Isn't it have a lot of nickels?
I hope they have candy stores.
And why will it be terrible? Would it offer you not so much more freedom if you were not ruled by money?
Eli, I'm just trying to be funny, and you are being so
damn serious.
No, that's a very wholesome picture to imagine. My problem is I can't imagine.
I am quite aware. And this is what we are discussing, that you cannot imagine it, that you do not incorporate a concept, that this is not a direction that you can conceivably plan, that it is occurring, but you cannot individually plan it. Therefore, it is a matter of allowing and flowing with rather than flowing against. And one of the flowing with rather than against is not to concern yourself and worry in relation to lack.
But I'm practicing that all my life.
And it is a matter of continuing, but in a different manner now. For now, it appears that there is a threat, but there actually is not. You perceive there is a threat, for it is a change. But it actually is not a threat. It is a movement into precisely what you want. You are generating precisely what you want, and you are terrified.
That happens to me in my family really quickly. I get something wonderful happen. The studio falls in my lap. All the money is there. I have the right people. Everything. I'm so looking scared. I'm shaking. My boyfriend gets huge contracts, excellent success, and he's just freaking out. Like every time something so good happens, he's just like, you know. But you still get scared, even though we get.
For you doubt the reality of it.
Yeah.
Yes. It cannot be real, but it is too excellent.
Yeah.
And in that, I do not deserve too excellent. Only special individuals deserve too excellent. Mm-hmm. Not ordinary individuals. But none of you are ordinary. And all of you are exquisite. Therefore, you are all deserving of extraordinary. Yes.
So, but noticing all the abundance that comes to us in ways that doesn't require money, that would be a good way to end up.
Yes. For all that you do is interconnected. I have expressed this many, many, many times, but I am also aware that many of you at this point do not necessarily entirely understand that or recognize that, or you view actions as imagery and they may interpret different subjects or different types of imagery. But it matters not. What connects them is your energy. And all that you do is interconnected. Therefore, if you are paying attention to an abundance of pebbles in your garden, or you are paying attention to the abundance of foods that you store in your home, or you are noticing the abundance of friends that you interact with, or the abundance of energy that you incorporate when you are generating an action that you genuinely enjoy. It matters not. That is creating an energy. And when you are creating an energy that is focused in a particular direction, that is what you manifest in all of your directions. It spills into other expressions, such as money. When you are generating a continuous attention and concentration upon lack, as I have expressed many times, I have not enough money, I have not enough time, I have not enough friends, I have not enough energy, I have not enough milk, I have not enough breath. When you are concentrating upon lack, you create that, and you create more and more of it. For that is the energy that you are projecting. When you are concentrating upon appreciation and upon what you do have and what you are generating and acknowledging that, that creates a very different energy. And energy is key, for it is what moves what you create. For then it attracts what matches it.
So in the way you can only create what you have, so you have anything in this thing that I just told, and I also just said, if you are a number, you will be a number. In the same sense, if you are a thief, you will be a thief. If you have something, you can feel that you are content and you will get more of it. If you simply don't have something, you will continue to be a thief.
Correct. Well, you attract what you express in energy. And this is one of the most difficult elements for most individuals to recognize. For you do not see the energy. And therefore, you are not always aware of what your energy is doing or how it is being expressed. And this is the reason that I have expressed many times your greatest indicator of what your energy is to be paying attention to what you are actually doing, not necessarily what you are feeling. At times, what you are doing and what you are feeling may correlate, but feeling is not always an indicator of what your energy is doing and how it is being expressed. Yes.
If you learn to create the feeling independent of what you're experiencing, then as you learn to create those feelings, will you not generate what's basically what you're feeling? Will you not generate that physically?
It is dependent upon the situation and the individual, not necessarily. An individual can be feeling quite agitated or distressed and actually be generating an energy quite differently that would attract to them more pleasurable or more satisfying situations.
Which comes first, the feeling of agitation or the feeling of what comes to that?
That is not a feeling. That is the energy. Energy is not a feeling.
Energy?
Energy is not a feeling.
No, but can you feel?
You can feel energy, but it is not a feeling. Generally, energy that you can feel is expressed by another individual or some situation involving living manifestations. Most individuals do not attune themselves to feeling the energy of objects. Some individuals do, but most individuals do not. Other energies of living manifestations are more obvious to all of you, and you can feel them more strongly. In that, yes, if you were attuned to feeling energy, you would offer yourself clearer information in relation to any particular situation. For you would be aware of what is occurring, and you would be aware of what your energy is doing and how it is participating in that situation. That would be listening to your intuition, and I would be advocating of that. Yes.
Eliza, I really want to ask you a question, because while you're talking about energy, and I feel like I have a tenderness attached to my body, and it's sending out a rippling energy wave. It distracts me, because I say, why is this happening? Am I allowing the words to come through, or am I fighting them? Is it a conflict situation? Or is it just merely a concentration upon myself, my body consciousness? What could I be doing? There's something I should be for, the elimination of should. What could I be doing? Is this beneficial, or is it just a matter of allowing it?
Allowing. Distraction is not bad. And there is much distraction occurring recently. And it is not bad. In actuality, it can be very beneficial. For I think it allows you not to concentrate upon what you have not assimilated yet. And therefore, it allows you to not frustrate yourself and allows you to experience being comfortable in the midst of confusion or in the midst of unknowing. We shall break. And we shall return with your questions.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're going to like this one, Marissa.
Into the future focus 100 years hence.
and I'm having trouble reconciling the two. How can it be so unknown if it isn't, in fact, unknown?
It is unknown to you.
Can I ask you a question? Which is, you mentioned that, you know, this memory is stored in the body consciousness. Is it that if I were to find out a probable self, that probable self would have a different body consciousness than I do based on its memory?
Yes.
So my body consciousness memory is limited to my single thread.
Yes. To your experience. Yes. You are correct.
When you said that, the first thing that popped into my mind is, well, what happens when my body goes? And then maybe that was just far out, but, you know, they throw me in the incinerator when I die. In the transition process, we still have memory, right?
Wait.
Excellent question.
Huh?
This is an excellent question. Let me explain. There is a process that occurs when you choose to disengage, when you die.
Uh-huh.
In this process, you generate the choice to disengage from this reality. You initiate that choice and you blink out. Now, what is meant by that blink out is you are, in a manner of speaking, blinking out of this reality, but you have not yet blinked in to non-physical reality. As I have explained previously, that process is literally for the individual a blink, but in your linear physical time, it is approximately 2 weeks. In that 2 weeks, there is a transition. The energy of the individual remains in this reality. It has not yet blinked into non-physical reality. While it is continuing to remain here in this reality, it assimilates all from the body consciousness, which is dead. The body consciousness is shed, and it is perceived and pronounced dead, but the energy, the essence, the attention of the individual remains and begins the process of assimilating all of the information from the body consciousness, which it assimilates and moves with into non-physical consciousness.
Okay, so...
so it is not lost.
So the energy of essence has the power to take this information with it.
Yes.
Is that what you mean when you say that people that do not choose to immediately transition or shed beliefs about physicality, that's why they keep creating physical imagery?
No. Oh, this is a different action.
Oh.
Once the individual blinks in to non-physical consciousness, in your terms, they have died.
Right.
And their attention and their essence is no longer present in your physical reality, which, as I have expressed, is approximately 2 of your weeks, but a blink.
Okay.
to the individual. Once they generate that action, the individual, generally speaking, does not enter into transition immediately. The individual generally continues to create physical, objective imagery that is very similar to what they were engaging within physical focus, with some differences. One difference is the individual will image themselves as a general age, not the age that they disengaged at. They also will not immediately remember their death. Therefore, they will not remember any of the circumstances or situations that were preceding their death. If they engage a disease, they will not image themselves with the disease. They will image themselves as healthy and functioning, for they do not remember what they were creating to initiate the death, regardless of how much time framework was involved to create that disengagement. They will not incorporate the memory of that. They also will incorporate objective imagery in relation to what is what you would term to be normal to them, but somewhat more pleasant. Therefore, there will not be conflict. If the individual was generating conflicts with family members or friends, that will not be present. They will be interacting with the images of those individuals in a manner that is amiable, and that is more of their ideal. But they are not actually interacting with any other individuals. They are interacting with their own images of other individuals, and therefore they are not interacting with the attention of any individuals that remain within physical focus. Eventually, they begin to notice discrepancies in their reality. Eventually, they begin to notice that in their interaction with the individuals that they are interacting with, in the images of them, that there are no surprises, that their interaction is always very predictable, and that will begin to spark their curiosity and questioning. And when that occurs, the individual generally will begin to remember their death. Once they remember their death, they can choose whether to engage transition or whether to continue to create objective imagery. Many individuals choose to continue with creating objective imagery, for they realize that they are no longer actually participating in physical focus, and therefore they also realize that they can manipulate their physical imagery much more freely and much more easily. They begin to realize that they can create the imagery of walking upon a beach in one moment and with a mere alteration of thought, they can create themselves being in another country, and they can be experiencing an entirely different scenario. This, for most individuals, is exciting and fun, and therefore they do not always choose to immediately engage transition, for non-physically, their beliefs are extremely relaxed. They do continue to reiterate them, but they are so relaxed that it is much more similar to your dreams. That in your dreams, you can alter the scene very quickly, and you can change the scenario very quickly. They can do this physically once they recognize that they are no longer participating within physical focus.
It sounds like the ultimate out-of-body
experience. In a manner of speaking. And actually somewhat literal, for you do not engage with the body anymore.
Is there opportunity to interact with others
who
are not physical at that point? Or it sounds like it's included worldly.
There is in two fashions. When the individual has disengaged and has not yet remembered their death, they can continue to be interactive with individuals that remain in physical focus. They can be aware of individuals within physical focus and their energy. And this is an element that contributes to the remembrance of their death. Once they remember their death and they know that they are no longer participating in physical focus, they can participate with other individuals that are also not participating in physical focus, and they can project energy to individuals within physical focus. Yes.
It's quite evident how that.
Yes. Yes.
What? That 2 week period, is there a name for that place? And if so, what is it?
It is not a place, it is here.
No, but I mean, as far as you call, you identify one as transition and one as physical reality, what would be the space in between?
It is not a space in between.
Nothing on the earth.
The individual's attention, their energy, their essence remains within your physical reality. It is not moved to a different place. It remains in this reality. I would express to you, if an individual approached myself and expressed to myself, I am experiencing an intuition that a friend or a family member of mine has disengaged, is dead. And I believe that this individual is no longer living from the point of yesterday. If the individual requested myself to confirm that, I would express no. The individual has not disengaged yet. Their body may be, in your terms, dead, but the individual has not moved themselves from this reality yet. Yes.
May I ask you a question about the body? If you say that the memories that our body consciousness holds are actually contained in the body consciousness, so what happens if, let's say, the body itself is disposed of within a period of a couple of days, rather than 2 weeks? So what happens in this case? But it's better what's happening in this case with the body.
Yeah. For immediately upon the death of the body consciousness, you as essence and your attention and your identity assimilates all of that information.
Yeah, Eliza, just changing direction here. I have a question about a couple of things that have been happening to me. In my dreams, almost regularly, once a month, maybe more, 2 years, I hear a phone call, a ring. At work, objectively, I hate phones. Don't answer my phone call from, it's just dyslexic. Now, I understand the ring of the phone is a signal. The feeling is the signal. I can't quite get what I'm getting signals, emotions. Am I globally not paying attention to my communications, or are there specific communications that I'm not paying attention to? Because it seems so real to me that it's some kind of signal that I'm getting the signal, I'm just not answering the phone. I'm not getting the communication. And I'd appreciate it if you could address that for me.
Yes. And the message, you are receiving the signal, but the message that you are not necessarily receiving is that in relation to difference and then in relation to your associations with differences.
Globally or more specifically?
More in relation to individuals that you interact with personally.
Yeah, that makes sense then with what's going on with my family.
And right, also not personalizing.
What do you mean by not personalizing?
When other individuals engage actions or express in particular manners that are different from yourself, most individuals have a greater tendency to personalize what other individuals are doing. When you personalize, you view what the other individual is doing as a personal affront to you. They are doing this to you with the intention of doing it to you. And generally speaking, they are not.
Would you say I do this mostly with my family? Because I don't feel like I do this
yes.
in general.
Yes. And in that, when you personalize with other individuals, you create more of an explosion. For then you also generate expectations. You generate expectations of yourself, you discount yourself, and you generate expectations of the other individual. They should not do this, or they should do this. And in that, as you are personalizing, it moves somewhat beyond that they should do this or they should not do this. It also becomes an expression of why do they not know this? Why do they not recognize this? The individual knows me. Why would they express in this manner, knowing that it will generate this type of response from me? But the other individual is not personally affronting. And therefore, they are not perceiving in that direction.
Now, why do I understand that with everybody else except my family?
But those individuals are closest to you. You are most vulnerable to those individuals. You allow yourself more of an openness to those individuals. Therefore, they are more affecting.
Well, it's great. This has been like having a personal session with you. This is really good. Thanks a lot.
You are very welcome.
Back to body consciousness again. Objective reality is associated with body consciousness, correct? Or is the subtle field system or thought system an inner subjective reality, a subjective reality, or is it connected to body consciousness?
Physically?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
consciousness communicates to you continuously. It is a very strong avenue of communication.
It's hard to tell sometimes whether it's me or it's something else. Like the day of that first Dhamma discussion, I was by myself and I felt lost here. The point is part of that. Mm-hmm. It was just like totally sick, you know? I had to go breathe by myself and I was like, man, it's not you. Something's happening. And I went home and I found the computer that it was that first crash. Mm-hmm. But I think it really came in for physical first.
When you experience these types of energy surges, so to speak, it is important to stop momentarily and pay attention to what you yourself are doing. To distinguish whether you are connecting with another energy or a collective energy or whether it is your own. And when you can stop and decipher what you yourself are doing in that moment, if it does not correlate with what you are experiencing, what you are feeling, generally speaking, it is an indicator that you are connecting with some other energy, in that you can practice buffering out other energies. When you feel that, allow yourself to distract yourself. One manner in which you can distract yourself that is very effective is to engage your imagination. Move your attention away from what you are feeling and away from your physical body consciousness. And allow yourself to actively engage imagination, which I'm aware that you are quite versed in imagination, and that will not be very difficult for you, although it may be difficult for some individuals. But this may be a very effective manner in which you can begin to buffer energy and not allow it to overwhelm you or to consume you.
Right. Would this work in the case that you mentioned before where we're already in an almost overwhelmed state? You break that pencil, everything seems to fall apart. Would this be time to practice this also? To delve into imagination as a way of separating ourselves
yes.
from this overwhelmed feeling?
Yes. Imagination can be an excellent tool. It is not merely a powerful distraction, but it also simultaneously can be very inspiring and can spur you into new directions that are not overwhelming. Yes?
I feel like one of the most important things is stress at many times, although I see a lot of people have a real problem with it, is being aware of the focus of their attention and also learning to direct the focus of their attention as well. Could you maybe express a little bit more on that?
Directing the focus of your attention, which is you. Directing yourself intentionally, in actuality, is very simple. But you complicate it tremendously. Directing your attention is simple, for it is merely a matter of being aware of what you are paying attention to. And whether what you are paying attention to actually is directly affecting you in the moment or not, which in actuality is quite simple. For most of what conflicts you and bothers you and frightens you and distresses you is not actually directly affecting you in the moment. It is the possibility that it could affect you.
Yes, it's a horrible possibility.
Or it is the idea that it might affect you, but it is actually not directly affecting you in the moment. This is the scenario that I have expressed previously, when individuals become distressed and anxious and worrisome in relation to money or in relation to a bill or a debt. The perception is not what is occurring in the moment. No monster is ripping down your door in the moment and dragging you from your dwelling and hoisting you into a cave. But the perceived threat is present, and that is what you are paying attention to. I will not interpret the ability to do this. That is not occurring now. It is a matter of very simply reminding yourself what is actually occurring now. Are there monsters waiting to devour me? No. Are there individuals coming to take away all that I have? No. Shall I die in this moment? No. You project so much and you move yourselves out of the now and what you are actually doing and experiencing so often, that is what creates most of your conflict or your anxiety, not what is actually occurring. That is a potential.
Because I have a feeling that it's good. and perhaps even those of us who are interested in the future. Well, it's superficial, but I have a feeling that the energy is feeling the energy of your being, reassuring, not so much your caring, you all make your choices, you face the goals, and actually, a friend of mine, Nima, has a very positive outlook on that, but I only wrote so far. Our outlook on the market collapse was that we don't have to pay mortgages, of course. We don't have to pay mortgages. And if you don't, that for me is a very logical way of saying it. I'm looking forward to not paying mortgages. When is the word first? Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And may not necessarily be always in the form of your species that.
Your what?
Oh, other species.
Hello.
It may not always be associated with your species, death, but also how that may be affecting of you.
I don't want to say this word, but I have to grab it from you, Did you expel the movie? This is very fascinating.
Other species are, in a manner of speaking, a part of you. Therefore, when they disengage, that energy, in a figurative manner of speaking, reabsorbs to you, but is no less a loss than it is if an individual disengages. Or, in a manner of speaking, the loss is the loss of a part of you that you have projected, that you have manifest, and you have disengaged. Not that it is your responsibility or fault for other species, creatures, choose their own disengagement. But they are a part of you. They are a projection of your energy. Therefore, when they disengage, it is similar to a part of you disengaging.
So how would you experience that first? Like you saw before the disengagement? So that would be like an aspect of part of. But I'm wondering like energetically how you would experience that. Because as I'm practicing my buffering, I don't know, I might feel something, not know what it is, and it could be that type of energy, but
for most individuals, dependent upon what they are connecting with, it would be in varying degrees a feeling of emptiness, a feeling of detachment, which is also connected into this communication wave. Or, as I expressed, you are not separate from all that is within your reality. You are intimately interconnected, and in that, the communications within your world that are not being expressed by you individually, but are present, are important to pay attention to. Your economy is not the only expression which is global that is being affected and being changed. There is much more in your world that is being changed, and it is important to pay attention. Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but
this,
I think the people who concern themselves with these things say it's not just a polar bear. There are huge numbers of species on the planet that are becoming extinct at a regular rate, maybe even escalating. If this is true, and if they are a part of us in the sense that we're creating them, then in our losing them, is this a natural evolution of us going into the ship, or are we damaging ourselves in some way? It's like, what's the significance of this?
And it is very significant.
Ah!
For you have created an exceptional balance within your world, within your reality, in which all that is within your reality is interconnected, just as you are interconnected with all that is within your reality. What you do in your experiences, in this location, ripples out, and other individuals in Siberia are affected. You do not see that, but it occurs. What you do in your experiences does not merely affect you and what is around you physically, but it affects all of your reality. It affects the balance. An element of this shift, a significant element of this shift, is to be self-directing and to be aware, to be expanding your awareness, to recognize and genuinely know that you are interconnected with all of your reality, that the individual is important, that the individual matters. Beyond mattering, you are responsible for you, and therefore are responsible for all that you create. And you create the entirety of your universe.
That's very challenging.
Yes.
Because in this way, it's hard for you to get to the gym, you know? And so now we're responsible for the entirety of the gym.
What I am expressing to you is you are moving into a greater awareness. I'm not expressing to you that you must be overwhelming yourself with the responsibility of the universe. What I am expressing to you is the importance of being self-directed and paying attention to what you are doing. And in that, not pushing, allowing. You have been pushing for centuries, for millennia, and pushing is not the direction of this shift. It is time now to stop and to allow.
80% of the coral reefs in the planet are dead. I mean, how do we hold that our information system, natural evolution into...
Is this a natural evolution?
For a natural recurring
phenomenon? I may express yes or no. Is it a natural evolution in what you term to be natural? In relation to the natural function of your planet? No.
Well, is it quote bad, wrong, something that needs to be corrected? Or dumping oil into the ocean?
Is it bad? Is it wrong? That would be a matter of perception. That would be a matter of your individual belief. Is it affecting? Yes. Is it creating changes? Yes. It can be. It very well can be. And already is. But these are your choices. Will I express to you that continuing in the direction that you have been for millennium will lead to your extinction? No. It will not. May it lead to an imbalance in your world in which it may no longer be sustainable to you? That is a tremendous potential. But that is not the point. This is not a matter of doom. It is not a matter of predicting this direction. If you continue, this will occur. No, this is not the point. The point is being aware and knowing that significant changes are occurring. Now they have begun, and it is to you how you will proceed. It is to your choice how you will proceed and what you will do with the changes that you have initiated. It is not a matter of perceiving that it is all doomed and you incorporate no recourse and no choices. You incorporate many choices. And in that, it is a matter of expanding your awareness and choosing what are your preferences, what is your comfort, and moving in that direction intentionally. And every individual contributes to that in their daily experiences, in their daily actions. And all of the actions that they are not comfortable in, and all of the actions that they are comfortable in. And shifting the ratio of uncomfortable and paying attention to that, to paying attention to the comfort level, and therefore shifting the energy. Yes.
I'm noticing that there seems to be a pattern of, when we're speaking in terms of pushing energy, that is the dynamic of the masculine energy, where allowing is more feminine. Is that correct?
Yes, you are correct.
It's a shift in consciousness.
Yes.
Moving away from the masculine.
Yes, you are correct, and I have expressed that from the onset of this form.
How does
that
allow the emotions to enter with,
allowing is not non-action. Allowing is not merely being and not incorporating any action. It is incorporating action, but being open to what may not be foreseen, or what may not be seen immediately. Yes. Yes. It is not non-action. Therefore, it is not a paradox.
So the allowance incorporates great trust.
Yes, and that is another very significant factor in all of these directions, is trust.
And that would include then expectations. For if I'm allowing and what I'm creating goes against my expectations, it destroys trust. So this is what I expect, this is my association.
Yes.
So no matter what I create, I allow and trust that even though it doesn't meet what I expect to be a direction to where I want to go, it's okay.
It can be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before we spoke about imagination, and you said it was very simple and effective. How important a tool is it?
Very.
In reversing what seems to be what is happening.
Very. Imagination is one of your most powerful directions and one of your most powerful avenues of communication.
Would it affect my personal reality as well as, well, since we're all connected, it would affect him and him, if allowed?
Yes.
Was it imagination or was physical creation in a sense? It was image first, and then physical manifested? Like this idea or ideation or image in a sense? And then, and
it's then, not one perceived the other. It is in the moment.
Reminds to return to imagination. It is so effective that there must be a reversal, or a stopping, or a reversal of the current trend.
Yes.
That's a simple question about prison, you know? Because there seems to be a lot of people around me who are dwelling probably with questions, you know. But I actually feel okay. The a lot of people around me are having one surprise scenario after another, and I've been trying to not verbatim from you, but share, just, you know, just go with it, just allow, just go out, get great, to happen anyway. Could you speak to that? And seeing other people interacting with people, you know, moving in the right direction with that personally, and what you can call a bridging as a whole, more generally.
Yes. Bridging is your allowance of yourself to express your own ability to pay attention to the different languages that individuals speak. And rather than here breaking the direction of attempting to force individuals to speak your language or to expect them to speak your language, to interpret the ability to listen and understand their language. This is the reason that I expressed that individuals that are thought-focused or politically focused would incorporate much more difficulty in this way, and much more confusion and possibly trauma in this way. Not every individual incorporates the ability to be a bridger.
To be a what?
Bridger.
A bridger. Not every individual can accomplish that. But the differences of focus types allow you different abilities, different qualities. They're not all the same. And then in this particular way, these individuals would not incorporate the ability, for the most part, to be a bridger. Whereas individuals such as yourself can be. For you, process and assimilate and interact more abstractly. Therefore, you can incorporate more differences, more translation. You can translate in more of a diverse manner. Individuals that are thought-focused or politically focused do not incorporate that abstractness to allow them to translate in a more diverse manner. They are more rigid. And in some manners, more absolute, for they are more literal.
More what?
Literal.
Literal.
Yes. Individuals that are emotionally focused or religiously focused are more abstract and therefore incorporate more flexibility in communication, and this is what allows them to be breakers, which is significant, for that is, in your terms, in this time, much needed.
Yeah, it seems like what I've had to do is to kind of hear what they're saying and see it from their perspective, let them have their perspective, but then kind of offer different ways of looking at it, different approaches. And usually if they've asked me, it's not, you know, they don't start mimicking me or using my vocabulary or anything like that, but it seems to help calm down to the rest of it.
I think my experience is that people like, I'm with you on the bridger thing and the emotional focus thing. I think listening to somebody who's thought-focused and genuinely understanding what they're saying. People just need to be understood is mostly my experience with this. And if I can, because I've experienced talking to a thought-focused person, I know what they mean, and I slow myself down and don't give so many explanations for what I mean, because that's confusing. So it helps me to slow down and listen to the other person. Don't you find that just listening to another person calms the atmosphere automatically? You don't even have to say anything very deep. It's just listening and being heard. I didn't get that until I started really, really paying attention to the need to be heard.
Quite, as some would say.
As some would say. Quite.
But one person was rattling off to me, and I thought, there's no point. There's nothing I can say. The situation's not going to change. There's no logical reason not to think of. Maybe I should do my best. And then I thought that I saw a red sparkle in my field of vision.
It's true.
You already get it. Your own imagery.
Yep.
And your own symbolism.
I'm right after, maybe somewhere tomorrow says I'm full alone. And being very into what will be foreseen. Those unforeseen circumstances.
I just wanted to address it. That as an individual, in a very important place, and they are on the intersection, and that means it's good. It's the same for people, I cannot say they're in my own direction. It is almost like part of me, if I can, the different direction.
Correct. And it is acceptable for you to do that also.
But how could you could be there going into two deeper or not to be in direction?
Do continuously, all of you do. You generate many different directions that appear to be paradoxical, but in actuality they are not. And in this, it is merely a matter of accepting all of the diversity of yourself and knowing that, yes, in this vintage, you interpret your own guidelines, and those are to be acknowledged. But this is the element that actually can allow you to be more accepting of difference, for you are interconnected with that difference. And you wish not to be opposing of yourself. Therefore, it is another encouragement for you to be accepting and therefore not be opposing of those differences.
Just a comment
on
this perception. Of these changes that are occurring and how we are keeping it in it. And a lot of times the conflict occurs because we are all very, I guess, steady about the reentrance. We know that we have to be in school and go to college, and then there's that to be employed for a time, and then there's that to have some salary needs or some money savings. And there's now all of that probably will change, the one to do or not. And so we're going to have to allow ourselves to find a body and some sort of confidence that the others will see. That's my opinion. But another thing I'm thinking, and again, maybe that's just a kind of thought that's familiar, but I keep talking on you, that there may be even to some of us an area where we might have to move in the sort of concept of being community to help each other. I don't know if that's
that is a possibility. But you will discover.
Yes.
You will invent.
Elias, you said that we will discover. Now, you said that the shift in other dimensions has already been completed. It is.
Not in other dimensions. Yes. This shift is...
Oh, in this dimension?
Yes.
It has already occurred in other time, in another time zone. Oh, I thought it was other time.
Yes.
So that the interim step fills there is the change, the reversal, so to speak, of what is now occurring, is not present anywhere. It has yet to be discovered.
It is present and it is not present. It is present in the future, which is simultaneous with now, but it is not present in your reality.
You've made this statement a couple of times. You made it with relationship to the tsunami down there near India, in Indonesia. I think you've made it elsewhere, where immense numbers of people from Paris disengaged were knowingly or unknowingly lending energy to the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's kind of like woven in and out of some of the things that we're talking about, that there may be significant depopulation on the planet over the next 50 years, or here or there, at least. And today we certainly have significant events in Iraq and in Hurricane Katrina and elsewhere. And I was musing as to what is the mechanics of this blending of energy? How does that, how does it work? What does it mean? Is it only with huge groups of individuals, or
no.
Is it with singular individuals?
Yes.
What? How does that happen? What is involved with it?
It's dependent upon the expression.
Huh?
It is dependent upon the expression, such as when the tsunami, the intention was not to continue to contribute to energies that were opposing.
Okay.
Which you do individually and do collectively. And it is dependent upon what the collective situation is as to what the contribution of energy is to the shift.
Would that be similar, say, I think 100,000 people have perished in Iraq over the last few years? Would that be similar? These people have said, I'm going to stop opposing.
No, they are opposing, and they are emphasizing it. They are emphasizing opposition.
Emphasizing
opposition.
And in doing this, are they lending energy to the system?
Yes. But they are raising awareness.
Raising awareness is synonymous to lending energy to the system.
Yes.
Okay, I think that is the first impression.
Very well. I will express great appreciation to all of you, and I shall be anticipating our next meeting. I offer tremendous encouragement to each of you, and be assured my energy is present, and you will continue. Thank you. Working on that as well. You know, Wiley.
Thank you.
That's funny.
Hey, you guys.